Hi, I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans. 30% of Americans who are planning home improvements of $5,000 or more will pay for those renovations with a high-interest credit card. That may not be a great idea. A better idea may be to take cash out of your home with a Quicken Loans 30-year fixed-rate mortgage. The rate today on our 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 4.375%. APR, 4.65%. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
Rate subject to change. Pay 2.13% fee to receive this discounted rate. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, Stephen. Now, over the weekend, the global free trade agenda, that appears to have taken a hit following that G20 meeting. You've got the U.S. appearing to be forcing other G20 members to recognize its protectionist stance. What are some of your initial thoughts about those meetings over the weekend in Germany?
Well, good morning. Thanks for having me on this morning, Han. The G20 communique over the weekend, in my view, left little doubt that there's going to be a shift in trade policy. But as far as interpreting what was said there, it seems as the market's interpreting that as more bark than bite at the moment. But, you know, perhaps going forward, we may have to prepare ourselves, and investors will have to prepare themselves how this language gets rewritten, especially from the U.S.'s stance. I mean, there's three main points that I took out of the meeting itself. One was the Forex language, which basically remained unchanged, that despite the initial G20 communique removing a lot of the previous FX language, there was no real plagues to move one way or the other on any FX policy. You know, most of the rhetoric was focused on disagreement on trade, and obviously the U.S. was the big part of the focus there. One of the key statements from last year's communique was removed. That was that we will insist, we'll resist all forms of protectionism, and the new administration's rhetoric for a fair and trade policy, really spearheaded by Trump, was met with a lot of disagreement with the G10 members. So now we're sort of in a wait-and-see mode to see how the fallout from that happens in the market. So far, we haven't really seen any move. So getting back to that bark louder, but bark more ferocious than the bite, that seems to be the common theme early this morning.
But make no mistake, though, there are some other global heavyweights in that G20 setting there. So the likes of Germany and China, I mean, there has been some rhetoric from them. But do you think they're able to push back much against what the U.S. is trying to do?
Well, you know, I don't think there's any doubt that the global trade policy is shifting. You know, while there's still going to be a commitment to work towards strengthening the contribution to the trade as far as each individual economic, but as far as how that's going to play out, there's still a real degree of uncertainty. I think right now the focus is primarily against currencies, you know, the euro and Japanese yen and the yuan to a lesser degree that have had a competitive advantage on trade. Over the past few years, you know, the Germany's economy's done very well since moving into the euro space, and that really projects well for the German economy. However, it's at the detriment to automakers in the U.S. So I think there's still going to be some significant pushback in that area. As to what sanctions, well, we're still in wait and see mode because we just do not know at this point how aggressive the trade barriers the U.S. is going to come up with, or how quickly they're going to move on those. My view is, I think, subject to how the U.S. economy is going to go, is how the trade sanctions will probably come. Right now, the economy looks fairly stable, looks like it's on fairly solid footing, and I think this will be, to a lesser degree, on the agenda through 2017, and if the U.S. economy starts to slide as we get into 2018, I think we'll hear more fire from the U.S. in that regard.
Now, since you mentioned it, given those FX signals from the communique, what kind of trades are you making when it comes to, say, specifically G20 currencies?
Well, you know, we have to think, like, all the reasons to be bullish U.S. dollar have been fading as of late. The Fed seems to be less of a factor in play after the dovish rate hike. You know, the expected Trump reforms, in my view, seem too far distant right now to be of immediate concern. And, you know, getting back to this G20, I'm actually not looking at that as a big mover. So I think what we're seeing right now, we're starting to see some portfolio allocation, reallocations, I think, into yen, and more primarily into carry trade, Aussie, Kiwi, and the G10, especially those that are backed by commodities. I think the lower trajectory for the U.S. U.S. hike is quite risk positive. And I think currencies with commodity that are closely related to commodities are going to benefit. Also, those currencies with a slightly higher yield should also benefit, at least over the near term, until we get some clarity on what the Feds are going to be doing as we near June.
Now, as you mentioned, the Fed, that's a good segue into monetary policy here, because, I mean, last week, it wasn't just the Fed, but you got China also raising interest rates, while at the same time, the central banks of Japan and the UK, they are staying on hold, at least for now. How much are you factoring in monetary policy divergence into your trades here?
Well, if we look at a lot of the positioning up until the dovish Fed hike was primarily based on the long dollar short bond positions, which was a divergent interest rate divergent trade. So we've seen a lot of that unwind, and to a lesser degree, we've started to see some positions into the short dollar on the lack of divergence. However, I'm not seeing an aggressive buy-in right now. I think while I'm pretty much agnostic on the weaker dollar view and very much on the fence. Sort of the randomness of the markets in the wake of the Fed hike, it seems to me that traders are practicing more of a duck and cover drills while stuck in the middle of no man's land again. So I think I think at this moment convictions are still not minted, and I think this week with the plethora of Fed speak, I think the possibility that they could lean against the markets, the dovish outlook that they've interpreted post the FOMC. So I think the market's a bit hesitant to go one way or the other, just in case they get another Fed flip-flop, because as we know, the Fed flip-flops can almost be as predictable an outcome as siding with the FOMC's forward guidance. So there's still a little bit of uncertainty on the weaker dollar trade right now.
Now, that's what traders, though. But what about central banks, though, given the prospects of that Fed flip-flop that you mentioned? That, how much will other major central banks around the globe factor in the possibility of Fed flip-flop into their respective monetary policy outlooks?
Well, if we look at a couple of the key ones right now, the Bank of England's dealing with the Brexit fallout, and I think they're refraining from hiking interest rates just given the uncertainty that's surrounding perhaps a repricing of domestic assets. So they're also stuck in wait-and-see mode. If we look at the ECB right now, I think French election risk continues to be the big concern, and we have the first presidential TV debate on Monday of this evening. So we're going to be very closely monitoring the polls, which are still not showing one commitment to the other right now. So this is going to be a highly contested view. And I think this is keeping the ECB on hold. The Bank of Japan, well, once again, they want to keep, they don't want to scare the market too aggressively by suggesting that they're going to pull back on QE. But my view, I think it's just a matter of time before they do. But I think at where the dollar-yen situated right now, trading between 112 and 115 level, I think there's a reluctance for them to pull off the money taps right now, simply because they don't want to spook the market, and they don't want to see dollar yen trading back down around 105. So right now, I think despite the fact of the Fed's moving higher, the Fed's move wasn't aggressive enough to change the overall trajectory of the strong, or convince the strong U.S. dollar bullish outlook. So I think from the Bank of Japan's perspective, I think they're also going to be in wait and see mode to see at least through June to see what's going to happen in the U.S.
Now, Stephen, you've provided your near-term outlook for the dollar. You also mentioned about how there's a possibility for a carry trade into Aussie dollars or other currency backed by commodities. How about you give us an outlook on, say, EM currencies and specifically here in the Asian region, ringgit, for example?
Well, I think the gentle message that the Fed provided certainly opened the doors up for emerging markets, and especially the emerging markets in the region that are closely linked to commodities. I think those are good opportunistic vehicles that we're starting to see flow come in. Also, we have to be cognizant because of the lower trajectory on the Fed hike. You're also seeing some of the higher yielding local currencies like the rupee appreciate also. But really, the two big leaders of the pack right now have been the INR and the Korean won. Korean won, I think, it's being viewed because of its relatively cheap relatively cheap equity markets. And I think that's attracting a lot of foreign investors because they see that economy potentially accelerating, especially as, you know, we have seen trade rhetoric pick up. However, it's not really, you know, it doesn't look to be a near-term phenomenon, and we don't view that as anticipating the Korean won substantially. India, on the other side, has really picked up a lot of support because of the elections. The past elections are being viewed by international investors are quite positive for ongoing reforms in India, so that's very good. Malaysian ringgit in itself, although it's been struggling for the past, say, 40 months or so, it's starting to turn the corner, and there's starting to be a sense in the market, thanks to the rebound in commodity prices, that there's going to be some undervalued opportunities in the equity markets. And if we could get to see a turnaround in oil prices, convincing move up to, say, the $55-$60 region, which is still quite possible, I think that's going to bode well for the Malaysian ringgit. But I think right now what the market's really looking at, they're saying, well, given the weakened Malaysian ringgit, given the undervalued aspects of the market, and given the possibility of the potential tick up in GDP this year, driven primarily on the back of public infrastructure products, which is all related to this commodity investment boost, we're thinking that certain segments of the Malaysian economy look good, and I'm actually starting to turn the corner on the Malaysian ringgit, where I've been quite bearish in the past. I'm starting to see opportunities, primarily based on the more gentle approach that the Fed's given us.
Thank you so much for your time and your insights there. That was Stephen Innes, Senior Asia-Pacific Forex Trader in Oanda.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
Hi, I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans. 30% of Americans who are planning home improvements of $5,000 or more will pay for those renovations with a high-interest credit card. That may not be a great idea. A better idea may be to take cash out of your home with a Quicken Loans 30-year fixed-rate mortgage. The rate today on our 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 4.375%, APR 4.65%. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
Rate subject to change. Pay 2.13% fee to receive this discounted rate. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.